Well, welcome everybody to another edition of The Last Christian. We are certainly glad that you're here with us here today. My name is J.D. Williams, and as always, I am joined from the Dallas and Fort Worth area by my co-host, my brother in Christ, Mr. T.L. Terry Farley. And today, Terry, we also have the privilege of welcoming in a key contributor to our program, which is Mr. David Paxton. And, you know, David, you're located in the wonderful,
New York.
I don't even know what to call it anymore. They've gone so nuts and so liberal out there. But you're in New York City. So if anybody knows anything about terrorism, David, I believe it's probably you as far as all of us that are located here in the United States of America. Terry, David, welcome to The Last Christian. Today, we are going to be talking about nothing but the ongoing war in Israel, which was brought about by, I don't care how anybody wants to describe it, a terrorist action that is ongoing right now and just breaking today. Hamas, who is responsible for all of this, has announced to the world that if Israel will just stop the rockets from the IDF and stop the attacks by the IDF on the Gaza Strip and on those that committed nothing short of hellacious murder, that they will release the hostages that they took. First of all, I want to get both of your impressions on that offer and whether it is something that should even be considered by the Israelis after the horrendous terrorist attack that was put on them. We'll start with you, Terry, there in the Dallas and Fort Worth area. What is your impression of this offer by Hamas to stop or to release hostages? They haven't said anything about stopping the war, by the way. They just said that they'll release the hostages. Go ahead.
Well done. No, that, in fact, I'm going to use your lead to come in. How about stopping the war? They're the ones that started this thing, and it's like a little kid who pokes somebody, and when the person responds, they say, "Oh no, wait, no, I want to quit." No, right. It doesn't work like that. This is a war. They've declared war. They need to finish the war, and I'm talking about Israel. They need to do whatever they need to do to get rid of the people, the terrorists in Gaza. And I like the idea of them getting rid of them completely. I love the idea of them taking Gaza back, as they should. They never should have given it to them. That's my view, and I'm going to let David have jump in on this.
Okay. David? Mr. David Paxton, and even before you give that answer, David, I need to let people know who you are, basically, okay, and the organization that you're a part of, which is thehiddenday.com. Can you tell me something about thehiddenday.com? I know it's huge. You're in contact with a lot of people that I would love to get in contact with. For instance, Emeritus Sarte. You know, I mean, there are certain people that I would love to get in touch with that you know. So I'm putting a little pressure on you in advance. Help me out here, okay? But anyway, tell people a little bit about thehiddenday.com, okay?
Well, The Hidden Day, the name is born out of Yom Teruah, or what they call today Rosh Hashanah, or Rosh Hashanah, okay? It's Rosh Hashanah is head, Rosh is head, Ha is the Shana's year, head of the year. It's a Jewish new year, and that's what they call it today. The original feast day in the Bible is Yom Teruah, the day of blowing the trumpets and celebrating, but it's also known as the hidden day. Yom Ha Keseh is the day of the hiding, basically, in the Hebrew, but it's the hidden day. And it's the next feast day to be fulfilled by Yeshua. So I, you know, firmly believe that this will precipitate the coming of Jesus the next time he comes. So that's what the ministry is all about.
It's are we talking rapture there, or are we talking the second coming of Christ?
There's reason to believe both of them, because it's the hidden day, because they don't know whether it's on day one or day two, Tishri one or Tishri two. And that, so it lends itself to no one knows the day or the hour,
right,
that he's okay. coming. But he speaks about that in Matthew. So, right. But there's also good reason to believe that, you know, they split it in half, three and a half. So 3.5 feast days. So now there's reason to believe it could be around Pentecost, because we've only seen the first half of Pentecost.
Okay.
In either case, he says, be ready at any moment. And that's what we're looking for. But we do have a high watch of both Pentecost and Yom Teruah, or the hidden day, because they are feast days when he'll return. So when is he returning to get his bride to go up for the wedding? And then that 7 years precipitates, and then he comes back for the Jewish nations and to rule and reign with his bride. That's all, you know, God clearly does not give us every single answer on purpose. Had he done that, the devil would not have proceeded with the 3D chess plan of him being crucified. If the devil knew crucifying Jesus would be his undoing, he wouldn't have done it. Right. So he doesn't tell us the full version. He just tells us these things so the second after they happen, we understand, oh, that's what he meant. Okay. And that's what it's there for.
Okay. So we're even going to get in more and more into your organization as we go on. And again, I would encourage people to go to thehiddenday.com. That's all together. Put it all together, thehiddenday.com. You can go there and you can read a lot about it. You can also contribute to the cause if you'd like, and I encourage you to do that as well. But now, David, tell me, what are your impressions of this offer from Hamas to release all the hostages, make everybody in the world happy, as long as the IDF stops invasion that they have planned?
Since 1948?
Oh, no, way before that, actually. Way before that. Was even a mention of a man, I can't remember his name now, but he actually went to Adolf Hitler and was speaking to Hitler about, we want to be a part of this this neutralization of the Jews or elimination of the Jews. We appreciate all that you're doing, and we want to be a part of it. Now, Hitler rebuffed him. Okay. He didn't go along with it, because it would have meant that they would have had to let everybody know that they were doing it. Okay. Mm-hmm. He supported the organization, but he didn't want it announced. Okay. But it dates back there. Another thing that you need to understand is the Palestinians, and look it up, people, if you want to know this. I'm a member of the United States Press Association. I do a lot of research. Okay. The Palestinians weren't even called the Palestinians until the 1970s. And that was, what's his name? I can't remember. The Palestinian leader.
Yasser Arafat.
Arafat, yeah. He's the one that created the name, okay?
Yes, sir.
Until then, Palestine was actually considered Israel, okay? That's something people don't really know.
Yeah, it's crazy. So my impression is the devil's a liar, and these people are of the father, the devil. So that being said, every time he opens his mouth, it's automatically a lie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because he's a liar, the father of lies, and he can do no other. So I don't trust absolutely nothing about what they say. You just got to do what it's there. But I think more than that is we worry about all this stuff, but we all know that the worse it gets in Israel, the closer we are to the rapture.
Absolutely.
So I really don't worry about these things. Oddly strange way, you kind of like, well, I hope it gets worse, because that just means we're that much closer. But I don't really wish that upon the people that are there. And we do pray for their salvation, because both sides are apostate right now. But he tells us to pray for our older brother, Israel. So that's what we do. And they'll come home one day.
Right. Okay. I think it's important at this point to let people know that this invasion that happened a week ago a little over a week ago. This was planned for a very long time. The Biden administration, and I'm not going to get political here, don't worry about that, but the Biden administration says that they cannot locate any evidence that Hamas or that Iran was involved in this. Okay. Now, maybe they weren't involved in the planning, even though I personally believe they were, but that's beside the point. Okay.
100%. They use Hamas as pawns.
What I want to emphasize here is something that I think I can break this down and make this something that people will understand. There is no doubt at all, 100%, no doubt at all, that without Iranian money, Hamas would not exist. Without Iranian help, the weaponry that they have would not exist. Now, let's put this into terms that people can kind of understand here. You live in a home, and about two or three blocks away, there's a guy that doesn't like you. Okay? So he gets with your neighbor that's right next door to you. Okay? Now, this neighbor, he doesn't really care for you either, but y'all get along. Okay? I mean, there's not any major conflicts. But this neighbor that's like two or three blocks away, giving him money. Look, I got to get this guy out of here. I don't want him in my city. So I'm going to give you all this money, and I want you to just keep harassing him. Do everything that you can to harass him. And eventually, I'm going to tell you, you got to kill him. Okay? But I'm giving you a lot of money for this. Okay? And this guy is, you know, he has no sense of values or anything. And he just keeps enjoying the money. And then all of a sudden, this guy says, okay, it's time to kill him now. And he starts shooting at you. He shoots through your walls. He shoots through your windows. Okay, now, is that, did he really tell you to go after him? No. He hinted at it, okay, but he didn't tell you, you've got to do this. You absolutely have to do this. But, of course, if you don't, you don't get any more money. Hmm. Well, that's basically what's happening with Iran and Israel. Israel is accepting, or I'm sorry, Hamas is accepting a lot of money and arms and help from Iran, and they are Iran's proxy. Iran is too far away to really do anything unless they want to nuke them, and Israel would trust me, Israel will take care of that. But anyway, they're guilty as charged. Iran is guilty as charged, and, you know, without the money, Hamas could not continue. Right now, Israel has got them trapped. They're trapped to the west by the sea, and they're trapped from the north, the east, and the south by their border with Israel and Egypt as well. Okay, so they're trapped. They can't get out. They're stuck. And I think that's the reason that they're trying to stop this thing while they can, because Israel turned off all their electricity. They didn't have another power plant. And the power that they had was powered by diesel fuel, and they're out of fuel. And the only people that have any lights right now at all have personal generators. And whenever they run out of fuel, they done too. Israel's told them to get out of the way. Hamas has said, no, stay there. We need you to be targets. Okay? We need you to protect our hostages. Stand in front of our hostages to where if they shoot you, they're going to kill their own people. I mean, you know, this is crazy. This is insane. And yet we have people here in the United States and across the world that are supporting Hamas and even blaming Israel for getting attacked.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
That's in the Bible too. So many will be deceived. Why did the nations raid?
Yeah. All right. Now, yeah. Go ahead, Terry. I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say, yeah. If you want to cut to the chase, just go to the Bible.
Yeah.
You know, people are opening their mouths at things that are in the Bible that if they read the Bible, they wouldn't open their mouths.
Right.
They'd just nod. Okay. Yeah. All right. This is working. Yeah.
I want to get into another subject here. I have Terry and I over a year now have discussed that we're getting close to the rapture, and you know, now I see it even more clear
I'm kind of wondering what happened. It's
yeah,
late.
Yeah. Like, bam, we're out of here pretty quick. Okay. But I don't know. We have talked about everything that's going on, and we got into Psalm 83. We had an atheist on with us at one point.
Very religious man.
Who wanted to debate one verse out of the entire Bible is all he was interested in talking about, because he was confused by that one verse and wouldn't listen to reason. We have had other contributors on, including David, to talk to us. I have played a lot of clips from Emeritus Forte, from Stackelback as well, Eric Stackelback of the Watchman newscast. And Eric on the Watchman has been convinced and has been talking about this for months and months and months, that he believes there's a great northern war coming. And I was against that idea for a long time during my listening to it. And then slowly but surely, I began to think, well, maybe he's right. And now I'm thoroughly convinced that I'm right and he's wrong. Okay. Now, you guys can. I told you, we met briefly before we got started today. You know, you guys can argue. And I said, no, it's not really argue, it's discuss. Because, you know, your opinion is just as strong as mine. We all base our opinions, and that's all they are. They're not interpretations. I want to make that clear. It's not, we're not interpreting the Bible, but we can have our opinion of certain scripture. And
I would call it a clarification. You know, okay. We're going to hammer it out, and iron sharpens iron. Hey, what do you see? Because, you know, like the blind man with the elephant, right? We all see different things. So let's bring it all together. Instead of saying, no, he's like a tree, and the other one's like, no, it's like a snake. Well, tell me what you mean he's like a tree. Tell me what you mean he's like a snake, and then we can understand better. And that's kind of where we're coming from.
Yeah. So here's the deal. Eric believes that this Great Northern War is really tied to Psalm 83. Okay, well, I went back and looked at carefully. And Terry, you know this more than probably anybody. When I start taking apart scripture, that's a wrong thing to say. Forget I said that one that way.
Examining more closely.
Yeah. When I examine more closely the Psalm 83 scripture, I believe that Eric's position is destroyed. Okay, and I'm gonna make my points on that. But before I do, I want to get you guys. Y'all come into this and tell me: do you see Psalm 83 in this? And maybe that's unfair. Maybe I should go first and tell you what I got, and then you can chime in. Which way do you want to go, guys?
Well, I can give you the nutshell look at it, and that's how I look at everything. Prophecy. Because I'm a prophecy teacher, prophecy is types and patterns. And we're going to see the same thing happen over and over and over. And I had a good friend of mine would always taught that World War II, a third of the ships were destroyed. It's like, well, yeah, that's a type and a pattern. But again, that tiny period in the tribulation, it will happen again. So when you have the tempo, you have the outer courts, the inner courts, and the Holy of Holies. When you have a harvest, you have the first fruits, the main harvest, and then the gleaning. There's three parts to everything, and they're all types and patterns. So as we look at this, it may not be this exact war, but this is a type and a pattern of this, maybe this particular war in Psalm 83 that will come later. So maybe not this exact one, but it's definitely a type and a pattern. And we've seen it all through the Bible. Types and patterns are everywhere.
Okay. Terry?
What I want to do to notice is, first of all, there's been controversy on Psalm 83, I don't know, forever. And I'm trying to remember his name, Bill, what's his name? The guy that wrote the latest Salas. Work on it, Bill Salas. His position is that that this is an actual war that is yet to be done. There are others who interpret it, and you can correct me, David, if I'm wrong, but there are others that interpret it as something that's already happened. And then there's another group, and these are the main groups, because you're going to get main theologies, and then you're going to get perspectives scattered across the earth. But anyway, but another heavyweight perception is that this is actually only a prayer. And you've probably heard that, David, yeah. That this is actually only a prayer. So you've got those three positions in particular to consider. I see elements of all three in this discussion. I believe it is going to be an actual conflict, and I believe it's in the future. Now, what's confusing, and I know David was probably picking up on this, but when we start talking about a northern war, you might want to rephrase that. Instead of saying a northern war, you might want to say a northern wars, plural. Does that
okay?
Does that
all
come
right,
in
well,
a little, does that come in a little well, bit better, David? You see what
now,
I'm saying? I'm sorry.
Now,
go ahead.
Okay, let me jump in here with what I believe. Okay?
Yeah.
The Yom Kippur War was fought 50 years prior, almost to the day. I think it's a one-day difference. The Yom Kippur War was fought 50 years ago, and it was in 1973. And my interpretation of Psalm 83 is that more closely fits Psalm 83, the Yom Kippur War, more closely fits what occurred back in 1973 than what is happening in 2023. I believe the Yom Kippur War is Psalm 83. Now, I've got reasons for that. But here's the big reason. This is the number one reason. And that is the countries that were involved in that war. But more importantly, and this is the big one, and this has to do with Ezekiel chapters 38, 39. Psalm 83 you can look at who all is involved in it, and I'm going to really break it down here in a minute, who is really involved in this thing. But the important thing is who is not mentioned in Psalm 83. That's the one that I want everybody to look at, who's not involved. Who is the biggest name in Ezekiel 38? Who leads this? Who leads the Ezekiel 38 war? In
Magog.
Ezekiel 38. Who is the main leader?
Magog.
Yeah.
Gog and Magog.
Russia. Mm-hmm. Russia. Where is, and the Bible is very specific in Ezekiel 38. It lists Russia.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it's not mentioned in Psalm 83. Russia doesn't come up in Psalm 83. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. So let's look. I told you I really want to break this down to where people can really and truly understand it. So let's look at Psalm 83. Terry, you want to read that, or can you, or do you want me to do it?
Yeah, I got it. Do not keep silent, O God. Do not hold your peace. And do not be still, O God. For behold, your enemies make a tumult, and those who hate you have lifted up their head. They've taken crafty counsel against your people, and consulted together against your sheltered ones. They've said, come and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be remembered no more. For they have consulted together with one consent. They form a confederacy against you, the tents of Edom and the Ishmaelites, Moab and the Hagrites, Gebal, Ammon and Amalek, Philistia with the inhabitants of Tyre. Assyria also has joined with them. They have helped the children of Lot, Selah.
Okay. Now then, looking carefully, I want you guys to look at who is actually mentioned in those first eight verses. So let's look at it says here, for they have consulted against you with one consent. That's verse 5. Okay. Mm-hmm. They form a confederacy against you. The tents of Edom. So we need to know who Edom is, right? Edom is Southwest Jordan. Okay. Modern day Southwest Jordan. Okay. The next one, the next one that we see come up here is Moab. Okay. What's that? Jordan. Okay. So we got Southwest Jordan and Jordan. I think we got Jordan covered, don't you? Okay. So who is Philistia? Okay. That's Israel, Gaza, Lebanon, and Syria. Okay. That could conceivably fit, right? That could conceivably fit. But where's Russia? You know, where's Turkey? Where are the African countries? Okay. Now, now we're going to get into this even more. Okay. But I just wanted to put those up there first. You know, I'm going to go back and we're not done talking about that. You know, we're going to go in, and I've got another series that goes on even more than that. I got it all printed out here, and I hope people will take the time to do the research. But to me, Psalm 83 does not fit the present conflict at all. Not at all. What you've got is you've got the, and again, I'm going to get into this even deeper, Terry, okay, because we're going to be talking about terrorists. Believe it or not, terrorists are listed. It's in there. Okay?
Yeah.
It's clear that they're talking about terrorists. But they're also not considered much of a threat to it. If you, you know. Anyway, you'll see what I'm talking about when we get into the second half here.
Yeah.
I want people to know right now that what the mainstream media is feeding you is a line of horse manure.
Malarkey.
Okay, it's awful. And the way that they're playing this right now, Israel has the support of about half the world, and the other half are blaming Israel for what's going on. And I'm going to tell you in the second half of the show, we're going to talk about in the second half of the show, where in eventually the entire world is going to turn against them, and that includes, if it's still around, the United States of America. I hope that you guys will hang in there with us, because we're going to be back right after the break with the second half of The Last Christian and this special report on the war in Israel.
From Feature Story News in London, I'm Simon Gaitan. The Israeli Defense Force has cast doubt on a widely expected ground offensive into Gaza, saying the next stages of the war may be something different. Iran's foreign minister has warned Israel that preemptive attacks may be carried out by what he termed the resistance front forces, in retaliation to war crimes he said Israel is committing in Gaza. Over 2,800 Palestinians have been killed by Israeli airstrikes that began following Hamas's attack on Israel, which killed at least 1,400 people. US President Biden will visit Israel on Wednesday in a dramatic move aimed at underscoring US support for the country, before travelling to Jordan for talks with Arab leaders, including President Mahmoud Abbas of the Palestinian Authority. Our US correspondent Simon Marks reports.
In a dramatic move, President Biden has decided to accept an invitation to visit Israel. The visit will further tie the US president to Prime Minister Netanyahu, and the White House will be nervous about that, given fears about the scale of civilian casualties in Gaza that the Israeli military's bombardment has already caused, and the intensification likely to come with any ground offensive. The Secretary of State said he had made progress discussing the creation of a humanitarian corridor, vital as Gaza's hospitals run out of supplies.
The man suspected of carrying out the deadly attack on Brussels, which killed two Swedish football fans and injured another, has been confirmed shot dead by police. Poland's ruling Law and Justice Party won the most votes in the national election, but fell short of securing majority seats in parliament, giving way to the liberal pro-EU opposition to form the next government. Megumi Lim reports.
The Civic Coalition Party, which came in second place, said it is ready to form a coalition government with the New Left Party and the Third Way Party, which will give them majority seats in parliament. This is a promising outcome for neighboring Ukraine, especially after relations between Kyiv and Warsaw chilled over a recent grain dispute. Civic Coalition Party leader and former EU President Donald Tusk has said Poland should not budge from its position of assisting Ukraine. Megumi Lim in Kyiv.
Russian President Vladimir Putin arrived in China to take part in the Belt and Road Initiative Forum. This year's event marks the 10th anniversary of the Chinese Global Initiative to build infrastructure stretching from Asia to Europe and Africa. The visit underscores Beijing's economic and diplomatic support for Moscow as their geopolitical divisions with the West sharpen. Daria Bundachuk reports from Moscow.
Putin is expected to promote the expansion of the Belt and Road infrastructure projects, two of which offer economic corridors running through Russia, and to showcase investment opportunities in the void left by Western companies that pulled out from Russia after its attack on Ukraine. The visit underlines China's support for Russia and their common vision for a new international order challenging Western domination. Daria Bondarchuk, Moscow.
From bureaus worldwide.
And welcome back to the second half of The Last Christian. And we will continue our discussion. We left off, we were beginning to discuss Psalm 83 and kind of get into some detail there. And so I want to put this scripture back up on screen, guys, where we can continue to look at it. It says, come, let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be remembered no more. And we talked about the Moab, Edom. Philistia, I believe, was in there, if I'm not mistaken.
The Hagrites,
Yeah. So anyway, what I want to do here is, again, I'm referring back to my notes on this again. Mm-hmm. They're also talking about Tyre, T-Y-R-E. Let me see here. I'm trying to look at like three screens at the same time, so you kind of bear with me here as I dig through all of this stuff. Okay, Edom and the Ishmaelites, Moab and the Hagrites, and then there's Jabal, Ammon, and Amalek, Philistia with the inhabitants of Tyre, Assyria also joined with them that have helped the children of Lot. Okay. So what I want to get into here is, who is Midian? Or where is Midian? What is Midian in the present day? And this is the northwest portion of modern-day Saudi Arabia, as well as southern Jordan. There's Jordan again. And some arguing that it also includes the southern part of Egypt's Sinai Peninsula. Okay, so again, this doesn't fit what's going on right now, because Saudi Arabia was actually in the process of trying to negotiate a deal with Israel. There's nothing to do with anything that's going on right now, but, you know, like a peace agreement to be a member of the Abraham Accords. And they had to put all that on hold when this all started. So Saudi Arabia is not a part of this, okay, at all. Yet it's in Psalm 83. So I think that's a disqualifier on that.
That's it. You're talking about verse 9?
Let me see here. I have to go back and forth, David, to bear with me here.
Yeah, it says, and Aser joined with them, and they've helped the children of Lot, and then do unto them as to the Midianites.
Yeah, this is, Midian is what is called upon there. And
I think he was using them as an example there, though. It says, do unto them as you did to the Midianites. In other words, it may not necessarily be involved here, but remember what you did to them? Do
that to these haven't even got there yet. But I'm about to.
Ah.
Okay. So what they're talking about here, you know, let me see. Let me see if I may be in the next set of verses here. I'm not sure. Let me look over here real quick. Yeah, it is. Let me put this. This is a continuation now of Psalm 83. Okay, this is mm-hmm. Psalm 83:9-18. Terry, you got that?
Deal with them as with Midian, as with Sisera, as with Jabin at the brook Kishon, who perished at Endor, who became a refuse on the earth. Make their nobles like Oreb and like Zeb, yes, all their princes like Zeba and Zalmunna, who said, let us take for ourselves the pastures of God for a possession. Oh my God, make them like the whirling dust, like the chaff before the wind, as the fire burns the woods, and as the flame sets the mountains on fire. So pursue them with your tempest and frighten them with your storm. Fill their faces with shame, that they may seek your name, O Lord. Let them be confounded and dismayed forever. Yes, let them be put to shame and perish, that they may know that you, whose name alone is the Lord and the Most High over all the earth.
Okay, so to your point there, David, whether or not Midian deals with other groups, it does. No doubt about it. Okay, it does. No doubt about it. So it starts off with Sisera and mm-hmm. also Jabin, J-A-B-I-N. Okay. Now, this refers, and again, this is according to the research that I've done. Maybe you've got something else and you feel free to express it. But due to the research I've done says that this Sisera, Jabin, Midian, which is the northwest portion of modern-day Saudi Arabia and southern Jordan, as well as possibly the southern part of Egypt's Sinai Peninsula. And again, Egypt's not involved in this either, by the way. But they were involved in Yom Kippur War. Can keep that in mind. They were involved in that one. Okay, but Caesarea Jabin refers only to commanders and the manner Israel previously dealt with those who perished at Endor, that's E-N space D-O-R, the modern kibbutz of Endor, southeast of Mount Tabor, which was founded on June the 16th, 1948, a few days after the region was secured by Israeli forces in the War of Independence. It is affiliated with Kibbutz Arzri, that's A-R-Z-I, Havsomer, I apologize for my pronunciation of all this stuff. Its settlers include Israeli-born pioneers and immigrants from the United States, Bulgaria, Turkey, Germany, and South America, who became as refuse on the earth, the king of the Canaanite city of Hazar Jabin headed the Canaanite alliance. Does any of that make sense? In other words, all of these were people or other groups. They were not countries. And again, if you look at Ezekiel 38, we're talking countries. Okay, it names them. If you look at Psalm 83, again, you've got to look at who's not involved as to whether or not you can apply Psalm 83 to it. And I submit to you, you're never going to make Psalm 83 fit when Turkey is missing, when Russia is missing, when parts of Africa are missing. Your impression, guys, from that. And believe me, I've got more, but go ahead.
Yeah, is Russia involved in this current skirmish now?
Not yet. However, and I don't think they will be, by the way. I don't think they will mm-hmm. be. Because it says in Ezekiel 38, I'm going to put hooks in your jaw and draw you back. It doesn't say I'm going to push you forward. It says I'm going to draw you back. So I'm thinking, and again, this is strictly my personal opinion on this, is that all this war stuff is going to continue because Putin has already said, you know, he's not, he don't care one way or the other who wins. He doesn't care. Doesn't have any, you know, he really doesn't care. China and Russia are allied tightly. Russia and China and North Korea are in this together. None of them are involved in this current. I think Hezbollah is going to get involved in this and what's going on right now. You know, we can debate that if you want to, but you know, I think Hezbollah is going to be involved in it. I believe personally that this leads to something more catastrophic than the world's ready for, and we'll get into that here in just a minute. But I want
they're kind of geared up for World War III, though.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's exactly where we're going, basically. But
Let me jump in here just a minute.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
If I may make so bold, when I made reference earlier to the question of either a northern war or northern wars, plural, I was referring to those people gathered at the various airports in Damascus. Okay, as one of the possibilities, and specifically what I was trying to get us to consider is not what the Bible says, but the references that you had made earlier, and I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, Joel, Steckelbeck talking about the Northern War, and so then I elongated it to plural, northern wars. We haven't established, for my understanding at least, when Steckelbeck, because I like him, you like him, we trust his work. What my question was immediately is, where was he going with that? What was he talking about when he talked about a northern war thing or made reference to it? See what I'm asking?
Terry, I have no idea if he's talking about Psalm 83 or what. I mean,
no, and that's good, but it helps us to bring to the table a question as an example for Eric. You see what I'm saying? To say, yeah, get him aside and say, okay, where are we going with this? What direction are you going with this statement? Who and what are you referring to when you use that term? Because again, that's why I threw in the plurality, because, you know, northern war, northern wars, you know, there's a lot of people that could come from the north, and one of them, Damascus, is very close.
Okay, well, we're going to get to that. You're getting ahead of the bus again, so hold on.
I always do.
We're going to get there.
Put my foot in my mouth.
No, you didn't put your foot in your mouth. You're just a little bit ahead of schedule, but that's okay.
All right.
So anyway, I want to go back to actual scripture again, okay? Because nothing is more important to me than scripture, okay?
So amen.
Okay, so again, what they're talking about here is deal with them as with Midian. In other words, this is something that happened in the past. They have dealt with Midian.
Yeah.
As with Sisera, as with Jabin at the brook Kishon, who perished at Endor. Okay, so again, this is, you know, past history, who became a refuge on the earth, make their nobles like Oreb and like Zeb. Yes, all their princes like Zabon and Zalmua, who said, let us take for ourselves the pastures of God for a possession. Okay, now I'm going to stop right there just for a minute because I want to get back to this again. Syria and Jabin, okay, or Jabin, refers only to the commanders and the manner Israel previously dealt with those who perished at Endor. Now, let's move on down to Oreb and like Zeb, Z-E-B, Z-E-E-B, and their princes like Zeba and Zalmunna, were the princes of Medan, who struck such fear in the hearts of the Israelites during the time of Gideon, and are best described as military or political terrorists, but in the end, no more than a tumbleweed. In other words, you know, not really of much significance. Okay. So again, my contention is that Psalm 83 is fulfilled. That's my contention. Now, again, we can all have different opinions, and either one of you guys can be right, and I can be right, or all three of us can be completely wrong. Okay. I mean, there's no, the Bible doesn't specify, okay, Psalm 83 happens when this happens. It just doesn't. But you've got to take things that as they are reported in the media, and Egypt is not involved in attacking Israel right now. They've lost a couple of three times. They don't want to lose again. Okay. Saudi Arabia is not in it, and they're definitely mentioned. Jordan's not in it, and they're definitely mentioned. Okay. I truly believe that Psalm 83 is fulfillment. But now we're going to get into the real heat of this and kind of catch up with Terry and where he was going. You've got an invasion that came from Gaza. Again, here's another fact, by the way. And I love to bring up facts when the other media won't report it. Again, I'm a member of the U.S. Press Association. I do more digging than CBS, NBC, MSNBC, Fox News, Reuters, anybody combined. I promise you I do a lot more research than they do because I look at other sources and they only use their own. Okay, I check everything. Were you guys aware that it was not simply Gazan terrorists who pulled this thing off? Are you aware of that at all from any of the reporting that you've heard? Did you know there were other people involved?
I have not seen that.
I have heard mention.
There was a breakage, okay, when they came through. All right, it was an elaborate plan. They had rockets go over this wall, okay? That distracted Israel. They had paragliders come in. That distracted Israel. Then they busted a hole in the fence and came through. They had bulldozers and everything else. Okay, well, when they opened up the fence, that bulldozing stuff, guess who else joined them? Any idea?
I know, the citizens. Yeah.
The people of Gaza picked up arms and went in, and they did as much destruction as the terrorists did. That is not being reported. So you think that these people over in Gaza are innocent? No, they're not innocent. They're complicit. They're complicit. They're actors.
Yeah.
So do not feel sorry for the fact that Israel's going to go in there and take some of them out. There are going to be citizens killed. God bless Israel. If you got to take out citizens, God bless Israel. They killed Israeli babies.
I've seen videos too.
Yeah, they killed Israeli babies. They decapitated Israeli babies. They're not complaining about that, but they sure as heck don't want anybody going in there and taking care of so-called Palestinians, do they?
And you know what? You know what their dodge is going to be? Their dodge is going to be, well, yeah, but it wasn't all of them.
Well, Israel has said we want to get Israel has made it clear they want to get the innocents out. Who's holding that up?
Yeah.
Egypt.
They're giving them a shot. They're giving them a shot.
Yeah. Egypt's
but
holding that up.
God bless Israel. I pray they push this thing to the end. They clear out Gaza. They take it back. They give it back to the Israelis that actually developed it and you know.
Okay. Now that's an occupation. That's an occupation. And again, now we're getting way past it.
It's not they. That's their land.
Okay, it may be too.
Israel gave it over.
Okay, hold on.
Yeah,
all of what you said is true. All of what you said is true. And how much of a difference does it make? None to the world. And I'm talking about to the world. To the world, it makes no difference. To the world. Okay. Now this is where I believe things begin to really heat up. So you're going right down the right path here. You're going down the right path. Israel is going to go into Gaza. They're not going to accept this silly deal.
They should take it back.
Yeah. They're going in there. They're going to take care of it to where Hamas cannot do this ever again. God bless Israel.
And that's
I
by
hope
eliminating
they kill
them.
Every single
Eliminate.
One of them.
That's okay. Right.
Yeah.
I hope
and
they
can. Here's the thing, too. I mean, I've seen videos where, you know, the people in Gaza were actually sending their kids out in front of the soldiers because they know the Israeli soldiers would not fire at the kids.
And then had
the kids throwing rocks at them and you know, pretending to shoot them and all this other stuff. They're trying to get their kids killed so they can use them as, oh, look, they killed my kid.
Right. Right.
Because according to the false book of Quran, they if they have three kids die, then they don't go to hell. And then he says, oh, what if there's only two? Okay, two kids. If you have two kids, then you're not going to go to hell. So they're all happy to send their kids out because then they don't have to go to hell.
Right.
But and then on the other end of that, you know, Israel should take it back because they're going to just want more land anyway. You know,
they have never kept a peace agreement.
Not one.
And they have never said that Israel has even the right to exist. In fact, they say that they don't.
Oh, but, no, they don't want. I told you about that when I was on that movie set out in Hollywood.
Okay, well, hang on. We're running out of time. That's the reason I'm cutting you off. Okay. Here's the deal. Right now, half the world is in support, half the world is not. Now, they're going to go into Gaza, and like what David was saying, there's going to be civilians killed. And the more that civilians that are killed, that have been warned to leave, okay, that are being held up by Hamas. Hamas is holding its own citizens hostage.
Sure.
Not letting them leave, hoping they die, because they could care less about them.
Yeah.
Okay.
But
when that begins to happen, when that begins to happen, the world is going to turn more and more and more against Israel. Now, here's another fact that many people are not seeing. This is being reported in the international media, not in the American media, international media, that Iran has basically told Hamas, be ready, you're on standby. And Israel has responded to Hamas by telling them this. You fire from Syria, we take care of guess who?
Damascus.
And what in the world does the Bible say about
before we read it, did you hear them actually name Damascus itself?
Yes.
Okay, let me read it. The burden against Damascus, the old Damascus, will cease from being a city, and it will be a ruinous heap. The cities of Aurora are forsaken. They will be for flocks which lie down, and no one will make them afraid. The fortress also will cease from Ephraim, the kingdom from Damascus, and the remnant of Syria. They will be as the glory of the children of Israel, says the Lord of hosts.
Now, you asked me if they said Damascus. Yes. And they didn't come out and say, we're going to destroy the entire city. They simply said that they're going to make it to where it can't be used again.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, if it can't be used again, then it ceased, right?
Yeah.
If the city can't be used, it's desolate, right?
Yeah.
So in my opinion, and here's where we get to have a lot of fun. In my opinion, Hamas will get involved from the north. And when that happens, Israel will do exactly what they said they would do. And they will take out Damascus. And that will be the turning point in which the entire world will turn against Israel because we just eliminated over 2 million people overnight. Mm-hmm. And believe me, the world is going to freak out about that one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and they're going to turn on them. Maybe even the United States of America, if it exists. But I have heard already about a plan, and I wish I could give you my sources on this. I'll just tell you it's true that Russia and China are already planning against the United States of America. So don't think we're safe. Okay. And also don't think we're safe from all of the people that have entered the United States. And before I say this, Terry, remember, nothing political. But if you think that a few terrorists did not get through the southern border, if not hundreds, if not thousands, then you need to examine things a little bit more carefully and not buy the media. Okay?
Terrorists have been
in this country. Terrorists are here.
I think we've talked about this. I'm sure we have before on other shows, but I just want to emphasize one of the thoughts that we've discussed is the reason they're allowing these literally millions of people over the last several years have come into this country is that if they're going to take America out, they might as well get rid of as much of the refuse as they can.
Yeah. Okay. So I believe, again, that the next thing here, the next big thing is one of two things. Right. And I'm talking about after Hamas gets involved. I'm not Hamas. Mm-hmm. After Hezbollah in Lebanon and Syria get involved. Only two things, in my opinion, are possible at that point. Mm-hmm. And that is the complete and utter destruction and elimination of the city of Israel or the rapture of the church. One of the two.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, that's my personal opinion.
What was that first one about Israel? Go ahead.
Okay. What I believe has to happen is the destruction of Damascus, completely take it off the map, or the rapture of the church.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I believe also that once the Isaiah 17 is fulfilled, that's the catalyst. Mm-hmm. Where the hook in the jaw comes in play and where you have Ezekiel 38. Now, where does the rapture fit? Before, during, or after? Hey, only God knows. The Bible says so.
Yes.
Only God knows. Now, look, guys, we've talked about this for an hour now. Okay, we're out of time, but we're not done. Both of these guys have got a lot of insight in this. And David, I don't know when you can come back. But anyway, whenever you are, I'm not mentioning days of the week. I'm not mentioning days of the week because there are radio stations out there that don't carry us on those specific days.
Our next, our next broadcast. Do you think you might be able to make that one? I didn't say a day
if we're
or anything.
Not raptured yet.
Okay. So hopefully we'll have David back. You got a job, I think, a real job. I understand, we're both, okay.
We're looking for a job, can't find one, we're here.
Listen, for those of you who have missed us, no, the rapture did not happen. There was a medical event that took place. It involved me and the inability of us to get on the air. We're back. We're going to stay back, and we are going to keep this going. We're going to keep this discussion going. It is extremely important. If you've not given your life to Jesus Christ, you need to do so now. And hopefully we'll be back next time with another edition of The Last Christian.
Thanks again for joining us today for The Last Christian Radio Show. And be sure to tune in every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday right here and at www.lastchristian.net. Until the trumpet sounds.